It is indeed a privilege to be here on a day of great celebration. But to understand that that celebration is also framed within this idea that Jesus Christ was coming not only to suffer, but to ultimately give His life. There are wounds and sorrows of ministry. He set aside this incredible ability that I still can't wrap my mind around, how He is all God and all human, other than the Apostle Paul tries to give us a window into that understanding in Philippians chapter 2. He was in the form of God and didn't think that that place of equality was something to hold on to. In the New Revised Standard Version, it uses the word something to be exploited. Satan wanted Him to exploit this ability in all of those temptations that He was given after the 40 days. Just turn the stones into bread, or throw yourself off the top of the highest point around, or all you have to do is just fall down and worship Me, and then I can give you everything in this world. Satan really went to Jesus and gave Him an opportunity to exploit or to use and misuse His divinity. But Paul reminds us that Jesus came for a whole different purpose. The words he uses is, He emptied Himself. He set aside the abilities that were always a part of who He was. And He chose to be born in human likeness, taking on human form, humbling Himself, and ultimately becoming obedient even to the point of death. So it got me thinking about what wounds and suffering might look like in our world today. What wounds and suffering have to be done for ministry in Jesus' name on an ongoing basis? I got a tie many, many years ago that has the crown of thorns on the tie. And there are two phrases that are a part of this particular tie. It says, He died to make a point. He loves you. That's the point. What a great reminder for us that whatever He had to walk through, He did that only because of how much He loves us, how much He cares for us. And so when we walk through our own journey of life, there are times when, in fact, we get wounded along the way. Our wounds can certainly be physical. Sarah Ellen feared of such things as she was standing in a kitchen of an open door window in Camden, New Jersey. It was a very real fear in the heartbeat of the poorest of poor in the United States, and drive-by shootings on a regular basis. And there are innocent people that are wounded every single day. But wounds also happen emotionally as well. Words that are said to us, about us, situations that occur that wound us to the very core. A young pastor from America was sentenced to 8 years in Iran's Irvin prison. He is, as this report reads, is almost unaware of the groundswell of international support for him. Instead, even as his family was able to visit him just a few short months ago, he really felt that he had been left alone and abandoned. He went over to help provide and start an orphanage in that particular area of the world. But in fact, he was placed on charges that claimed he had returned to his native land to actually start house churches and to go against the Islamic government. The exact crimes he was accused of only became public here in February. The prosecutor outlined charges that the pastor had undermined the Iranian government by creating a network of Christian house churches, and that he was attempting to sway Iranian youth away from Islam. Most recently, the guards in his prison have subjected him to numerous beatings, not only emotional, but physical persecution. And we are now very pleased to hear that even our Secretary of State, Kerry, has made a formal statement to the Iranian government in order for Pastor Saeb's release to be done. One opportunity of so many others. You can go down through the pages of history. The apostles, in their own way and in their own time, as tradition tells us, 11 out of the 12 were in fact martyred for their faith, and only left with the apostle John, who ended up living out all of his days, probably in his 80s or 90s, but imprisoned the entire time on the Isle of Patmos. Their wounds and their suffering in ministry have been, in fact, what allow us to be able to sit here this morning and to praise Him freely. To recognize the fact that we can still call upon the name of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul finishes his thought in chapter 2 by reminding that even in the most darkest of times, when all of the world seems to be against you, there will in fact be a time when God is highly exalted, that God Himself gave Jesus a name that is above every name, and in fact every knee will bend in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And what we have to determine today is, will our knees bend willingly or not? It's an opportunity for us. Even as we waved the branches in the crowd and we said, Hosanna, the Son of David has arrived. He's come in on a donkey. The prophecy or the imagery that a king has come into our midst is with Jesus. But just a few short days later, the very same crowd has a very different tune. Because ultimately, Jesus is asking for us to surrender all of our lives. Not just the parts that are convenient, not just the parts that folks can publicly see, but He wants for us to come to Him broken as we are, imperfect as we are. The prophet Isaiah gives another picture of this one whose wounds and suffering were laid before us. Out of Isaiah 50, we hear these words, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning He awakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Open to me the eyes of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. The prophet reminds us that whatever we may be walking through now will not last for eternity. Or as I've said many times, will it really matter in 100 years? There are things that we think are so critical that are breaking our spirit because we are in the midst of it and we just cannot see how anything good would ever come out of this situation. But the prophet reminds us that all those things that stand against us will one day wear out like a garment. I sometimes look in my sock drawer and realize that I have socks older than some of the college students that are coming on Tuesday nights to BCM. But I also realize that even those socks are eventually going to wear out. And whatever problems we're in or whatever the world is just pressing down upon us, it can seem insurmountable. But we have this word of hope. We have this word of perspective that says God's righteousness will in fact stand the test of time. Pastor Saib, he may or may not get out of his 8-year sentence in Iran. He may or may not be able to not have any more beatings whatsoever while he's in there. But he knows without a shadow of a doubt that he is not there alone. Daniel found that out, didn't he? I was picking up the wonderfully healthy choices I have for Sunday school, the 12.5 donuts at Sheetz this morning, as usual. And the lady that was behind the counter attends People's Chapel when she's not doing the midnight shift there at Sheetz. And she said, "Are you watching the Bible series on Sunday nights that on the History Channel?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "My kids love it." She says, "We're watching together as a family." She said, "My 9-year-old came up to me right before they showed Daniel, and she said, 'Spoiler alert, I know what happens to Daniel.'" And the mother was just like stunned, and she was like, "What?" She said, "I know what happens." So she already knew the end of it even before she saw it on the big screen. We already know what happened with Daniel. That the Lord Himself shut up the mouths of the lions. That as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked through the fiery furnace, they did not walk through it alone. There was a fourth man. And as we face whatever it is that the Lord has in store for us, it is that same assurance for us today. They gathered this triumphal entry. They sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." There was a call and a recognition that peace was in fact to come. It is a great reminder for us, even in the midst of what seems to be great turmoil, turmoil that is in our families, turmoil that is in our county and our state in our nation, turmoil that is in the world, that the Prince of Peace has in fact come. With palms we call out to praise you, O God. With clenched fists we strike against you, O God. With angry voices we shout against you, O God. With bitter tears we cry out for you, O God. With nothing but our human selves, we come to worship you, O God. May it be so, even as we are being prepared for the wounds and the suffering that are ours to take in ministry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God of wholeness, we confess that we have been broken by the world. We have been betrayed by friends, and at times we are the ones who have betrayed others. We've been rejected, and at times we have rejected others. Forgive us our sins. Help us to put to death all the needs to die in our lives, all the things that keep us separated from you, our own selfishness, pride, and greed. Guide us in your way, which is the way of the cross, to deny the things of the world that have power over us. Help us to live into your ways of love. In the name of Jesus, who loves us so much, he gave himself up, denying the world's power over others to the point of dying on the cross. It's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.